Our scripture today is from Isaiah. Well, let's see. Chapter 50, verses 4 through 9. The Lord God has given me the tongue of a teacher, that I may know how to sustain the weary with a word. Morning by morning, he wakens my ear to listen to those who are not are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear. I was not rebellious. I did not turn backward. I gave my back to those who struck me and my cheeks to those who pulled out the beard. I did not hide my face from insult and spitting. The Lord God helps me. Therefore, I have not been disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who are my adversaries? Let them confront me. It is the Lord God who helps me. Who will declare me guilty? All of them will wear out like a garment. The moth will eat them up.
This morning's New Testament scripture comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, verses 28 through 40.
After he had said this, he being Jesus, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. And when he had come near Bethpage and Bethany at a place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that's never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it.' So those who were sent departed and found it as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' And they said, 'The Lord needs it.' Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. And he rode along. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. And as he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, order your disciples to stop.' He answered, 'I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would cry out.' May God bless and lend understanding to the reading of his word. Those of you who have been here the last 4 years, there's a question I always ask on Palm Sunday. What does Hosanna mean? Bella. Wow. Did you hear that, everybody? Good job. Save us. Save. Yes, it does. It's actually a Greek word because the New Testament is written in Greek. But it's related to an Aramaic word, Oshana, which means save, rescue, savior. So the people thought of Jesus as they were shouting, Hosanna, savior, save us. Now, why would they think that? Why would they consider him to be a savior? Well, there's a clue hidden right in here. The reason for this long sermon title, "For All the Deeds of Power That They Had Seen." Imagine being one of Jesus' disciples. And I'm not just talking about the original 12. The disciples had an entourage, celibate groupies, if you will, that followed them around. There were people, men and women, running around with them, basically, as they went throughout the countryside, hearing the teachings, watching the witnesses, and these were, it says here in the text, these were the ones shouting the loudest right there in front of everybody as they got into Jerusalem. Now, why would they feel such joy? Why would they call Jesus Savior, like tell him, save, save? Well, Luke gives us all the clues we need. You know, the Gospel of John has a limited number of miracles because John was just trying to write the first tract, written that you may believe. So he was trying to get people to believe, and he just edited out a lot of Jesus' miracles, and he said, I suppose if you had put all the miracles in, all the books of the world could not include them. But Luke was not trying to be so selective, and so you see in Luke 4, they have him. He's angered them with his teaching. They're about to have him fall off a cliff, and he just miraculously passes through the crowd that's trying to kill him. That's the first miracle noted in the Gospel of Luke. He heals Peter's mother-in-law. And in spite of that fact, Peter followed him and continued to follow him. Sorry, bad mother-in-law humor there. No, he loved his mother-in-law and was delighted that Jesus healed him, her. After Sabbath sunset one night, Jesus laid hands on a number of people, it doesn't say how many, and he healed every one of them in Luke chapter 4. There was a miracle of a large catch of fish. They were on a boat, and he taught the multitudes from a boat. And when he stopped speaking, he told them, put down your nets. And they said, why bother? There's no fish here. But he did it. They did what he said, and they caught so many fish, their nets were straining. Miraculous catch of fish. Then he heals a leper on the way, Luke 5. Then he is preaching, and the people are getting so enthusiastic about this. He's in a house. They actually tear apart the tiles of the ceiling. The homeowner is really angry at this point. But they lower the man down in front of Jesus so that he can be healed, and he is, and he also says, your sins are forgiven, which makes people furious. Who can forgive sins except God? Well, that's kind of the point. I am God, and I'm forgiving sins. And if you don't believe that I can forgive sins, anybody could say, oh, your sins are forgiven. Let me prove it by healing this paralytic man. And so he does. And Jesus shows that he is God with the power to heal and forgive. He heals a man with a withered hand on the Sabbath, and people are mad because you're not supposed to do such good things on the Sabbath, which is bonkers. Why not heal them on the Sabbath? What better day than the Sabbath to heal somebody? That's in Luke chapter 6. Chapter 7, a Roman centurion has a servant that needs to be healed. And he says, you don't have to come to my house. You can heal him from remote control because you're that great. And Jesus says, I've never found such faith in all of Israel. And you're not even supposed to have faith, but you have it. And he heals him. That's in Luke chapter 7. A widow's son is raised from the dead in Nain. So he was just getting started here. Someone had died, and he brought that person back to life. Then he's out in the boat again. And as Pat mentioned, the storm blew up and he calmed it with just a few words. Now, mind you, these disciples are watching all this stuff happen through 3 years of ministry. And they said to themselves, who can this be? For he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him. In a really dramatic scene, there is a man who they report in Scripture is filled with demons. Spooky, scary stuff that horror movies are made of. Jesus releases those demons into a herd of swine and they go over the hill and die. Dramatic stuff. And so, you know, it's not just all cuddly, friendly God. This is scary things that happen. A leader named Jairus comes to him. His daughter's dead. And the disciples said, leave him alone. Don't bother Jesus. They were trying to be gatekeepers for him. But he said, no, I'll handle this. He goes over and he says, don't be sad. She's not dead. She's just sleeping. And everybody starts mocking him. Because, I mean, that then and now, that would be an inappropriate thing to say, wouldn't it? Don't try that at a funeral. And yet, he was right. He told her to get up, and she did. The dead girl wasn't dead at all. She was alive. And they were amazed. A woman came to him with a hemorrhage. And women who had such hemorrhages, because of the Old Testament laws, were not supposed to be near people. They were supposed to go off on their own, isolate themselves from people. But she risked everything and grabbed him by the robe and was healed of her hemorrhage. Showing great faith, he felt the healing power leave him, and he said, "Who touched my robe?" And she knew that he knew her. And she was healed. And then on top of that, just to cap it off, he fed 5,000 people, as Pat alluded to. There was a boy with another kind of demon in him, or some kind of a spirit seizing him. Jesus rebuked the spirit, and the boy was cleansed and made well. Went back to his dad. Luke 9. There was a person that was made silenced by a demon. Jesus cast that demon out and the person could talk, according to Luke chapter 11. A woman had an infirmity, which meant she was crooked. She couldn't straighten up. Jesus healed that infirmity by laying hands on her, and immediately she was straight and was walking around. You know, there are some mornings I could use that. He heals a man with dropsy in Luke chapter 14. He cleanses 10 lepers, heals 10 lepers in what was thought to be an incurable disease. He heals 10 of them. Only one comes back to say thank you. He heals a blind man who could not see and made him so that he could see. All this before Save Us. All this before Palm Sunday. Not to mention just the little bit of foreknowledge that he had to know that if you go and try to steal somebody's animal, they're going to let you take the animal if it's for Jesus. That's a miracle in and of itself. These people were filled to the gills with miracles. They saw Jesus doing stuff and making that which was wrong right. And how could they not just exuberantly just boil over and say, "Hosanna, save us! You did all this stuff, now save us." What did they want to be saved from? Oh, they probably were thinking about their human circumstances. Maybe they wanted more things. Maybe they wanted those Roman soldiers to go away. I'm sure they did. Maybe they wanted their religious leaders to not be so corrupt, like doing things with the Romans, you know, to please the Romans, to keep their power, you know. And one of the reasons I'm not crazy, not necessarily, I'm wearing the robe during Lent, but, you know, these people would walk around in robes to show off how fancy they were, you know, all week long. And that wasn't what they wanted from their religious leaders. Maybe they wanted to be saved from that as well. You know, and Jesus wasn't even done with miracles. He wasn't done. Later, they would try to take him. And his soldier's ear got cut off, and Jesus heals the ear in Luke. He's not even done. In fact, he's just getting started. And you know how he resurrected those two other people? By the end of Luke, he had resurrected himself. We don't know that yet as we're reading the Palm Sunday moment, the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. But we do know that Jesus has power, and Jesus is capable of doing all these wonderful things, and therefore is worthy of praise. But you know, here's one of my pet peeves, and I say this quite often on Palm Sunday. Right now you're sitting in church, and it's all Hosanna. Yeehaw, right? Next Sunday you'll be back in church, and you know, hopefully Naomi will be back, and whether she is or not, I think the music will be glorious. We have two baptisms scheduled for next Sunday. Did you know that? I'm excited about that. Praise God. I think it'll be a great service. So you've gone from Hosanna this morning, and you've got these little lovely palm branches to signify that. And next week you're going to come back, and you're going to have He is risen. Yippee. But if you don't take in somebody's Maundy Thursday service or somebody's Good Friday service, you'll think you went from Hosanna to He is risen, and you'll miss everything that he went through in between. You know, the reason Roger read that passage from Isaiah this morning, you know, the early Christians would look at that passage and see Jesus in it. Rightly or wrongly, they saw Jesus in that passage. Isaiah foretelling the suffering servant, Jesus, who would be punished and tortured for the sins of humanity, who would be going through Maundy Thursday and Good Friday. So I encourage you this week to take time, take in some of those other services. It doesn't have to be ours, although ours is in person and on Zoom. And I'm also participating in a Good Friday service at Grease Baptist Church. Again, that will be in person, 7 p.m. on Good Friday and on Zoom. You can look at the church's website to find that service if you'd like to take that in, so that you can be mindful that we went from Hosanna to Hallelujah, He's risen, through a great deal of pain and suffering out of a great deal of love for each and every one of us. What would you yell, "Save us," to Jesus if you could see him riding before you on an animal? What would your request for salvation be? No need to shout it out. Just think in your minds. Don't you know Jesus would like to heal that too? He is the Savior. And someday, my belief, my theology says that someday we'll all be in the kingdom and we will be celebrating him for all the deeds of power that we had seen.